Chapter 2. When the world stopped spinning like a whirlwind spell, we found ourselves in a vast, snow-coated field with a jagged mountain range to the north. The entire realm seemed to be devoid of life, and there wasn't one sound in the air. Not even the brutal wind made a noise. Everything was muted. The sky was the color of pure steel, and I could feel the frigid ice seeping through my tough leather boots as we stood in the freezing cold. The witches and familiars looked aimlessly around before a sudden cloud of purple smoke appeared out of nowhere and made several of the women jump up in surprise. When the deep, lilac-colored mist evaporated, we were gifted with a pile of wool cloaks. No doubt Theodora sent them here, and even though the gesture was welcomed, I knew these cloaks wouldn't keep us very warm for long.
Oh, how lovely.
Vesta purred before she grabbed a silver-toned cape from the pile.
Not the most beautiful piece of fabric I've worn, but I believe it will do. They're meant to be warm, not beautiful.
Professor Vanessa growled before she snatched a random cloak.
Satan, Vesta, sometimes I do question your priorities. Look!
Akira shouted before she pointed ahead at a hill in the distance.
My premonition skills may not be as advanced as Cole's, but I bet the secret village is just beyond that peak. It is,
Vanessa said, as she fastened her cloak tighter around her neck.
Or at least, I hope it is.
Cole, do you want me to scope it out for you?
Alexander asked as he drifted above me.
I can take Trixie with me and we'll see if we can spot the village.
Sounds like a clever idea.
What sounds like a clever idea, Master?
Beatrix asked. Alexander and Trixie are going to fly ahead and make sure we're headed in the right direction. They can also make sure no nasty surprises are waiting for us.
All right.
Nyx said before she looked down at her bright falcon.
Be careful, Trixie. You certainly do stand out against the dreary gray sky.
Perhaps I can cast a small disguising charm on her, or, I mean, him?
Beatrix offered in a hesitant voice.
In fact, I can make them both invisible for a short amount of time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's an excellent idea. I replied, before I gestured for the light-haired brunette to incant her spell. Go ahead. He won't bite. Beatrix cleared her throat and slowly pulled out her wand before she waved it 3 times in a circle and then aimed it at the 2 creatures.
Sekus!
A sudden silver light hit both animals in their chests, and they both trembled before their bodies morphed into nothingness. I thought I could see a dim outline of the 2, but it was barely visible.
Whoa!
Alexander gasped in my head.
New trick!
Hurry! It won't last for long. We waited in place as the invisible winged familiars soared upward and headed toward the peak. And it didn't take long before Alexander's voice suddenly rang in my head like a bell.
Looks like there's a gated village just beyond the hills. There really isn't too much here. All I see are acres of snow.
Alexander says he sees the village, and he also said there really isn't much around, so I think we're in the clear.
Well, that's no surprise, since this is nearly a dead realm after all.
Vanessa sighed as the birds flew back to us.
Almost nothing grows here except for potatoes and radishes. Their only source of meat comes from wild blood boar and whatever else can survive in this freezing and vacant realm.
Sounds like a challenging way to live. I commented, before I snatched the only oversized robe left and secured it around my shoulders.
It may be.
Vanessa agreed, without meeting my eyes.
But not an impossible one. The area may seem empty, but we need to stay alert as we venture closer to their walls.
Do we have any idea what kind of Wiccas live so wild like this?
Penelope asked as we all started forward.
Do you have any idea what they're like, Professor?
Unpredictable, suspicious, and deadly. They could have countless traps laid out, so I'm going to try to use a detection spell as we move forward. Prospectus.
A small orange glow emitted from the tip of Vanessa's wand, and no one said a word as we ventured onward until Marina broke the deadly silence.
Professor, may I ask you a question?
She inquired as we scurried after Vanessa.
As long as it's not an idiotic one.
Vanessa grunted before she glanced up at the empty silver sky.
How do you know so much about a supposedly secret realm? You said it's been protected and kept hidden from other realms.
That's actually a reasonable question, I said, as we trudged through the icy field. If it's so secret, how do you know about the women who dwell behind the walls?
Because there isn't one realm Theodora doesn't know about.
Vanessa responded as if it were obvious. Which, I suppose it was, for her.
As the headmistress of Scholomance, it is her duty to know about every single realm in existence. She has just as much knowledge about such affairs as the women of the High Court.
Well, that certainly makes sense,
Morgana said, with her chin raised.
Satan, I'd love to obtain as much knowledge as her one day. Perhaps you will.
Vanessa grunted as we began to climb up the steep, snowy hill Akira spotted from a distance.
One day you could become the headmistress's apprentice, like myself.
You're an apprentice? I asked as I arched an eyebrow at the dark-haired professor.
Of course I am. What, are you genuinely surprised? I'm next in line to become the headmistress, so naturally I would also be her apprentice.
Before I could answer the professor, Alexander caught furiously through the sky, and I noticed he was slowly returning to his black form as he descended toward us in a clear panic.
Cold! I think I can see movement up ahead, just below the hill. I thought it was a cluster of rocks, but then I thought I saw a hand. Wait. Now I see arrows. They're headed right at you! Duck!
Everyone get down! I screamed, but then a whooshing sound filled the air, and when I looked up, I saw an arrow coming down from the sky and heading right for Vanessa. Without missing a beat, I wrapped my hands around the professor's body and shoved her out of the way. I fell on top of her, and the arrow landed right by Penelope's boot. We watched in horror as the arrowhead melted the snow and started to kill the brown soil underneath it, and then the entire earth turned to ash right before the arrow dissolved into nothingness.
Unholy shit,
Vanessa panted, and when we both realized I was still on top of her, her lips pursed into a tight line.
Thank you, Mr. Cole, but I think I can get up now.
Right. I muttered before I leapt to my feet, and when I tried to help her up, she stubbornly refused to take my hand.
Everyone, keep your heads low,
the professor muttered under her breath before she pulled out her wand.
I'm going to send a spell their way and see what happens.
We did as she demanded, but before the professor could wave her wand and send a spell in our attacker's direction, another arrow came flying over the peak, and this time it nearly grazed my cheek.
A broomfucker!
Circe cried out, as more and more arrows descended downward.
They just won't give us a break. What did you expect?
Vanessa screamed as she dodged each projectile that came down to pierce us.
They're trying to protect their domain.
I think we should erect a barrier all together this time.
I like that idea.
Vanessa agreed, as the rest of the women pulled out their wands at the same time.
Everyone, repeat, Clypeus, after me on the count of three. One, two, three!
Clypeus!
We shouted in unison as we raised our wands to the sky. Suddenly a great invisible dome formed around us, and as the arrows flew down, each one bounced off the barrier and ricocheted off into different directions.
Stop!
A commanding voice called out.
Something is blocking our arrows!
In the next moment, the arrows instantly stopped hitting the watery wall around us, and when we looked toward the hill's peak, I saw a trio of blonde women standing there, like three feral goddesses, judging us for entering their realm and deciding how or when to kill us. Each of them wore thick fur cloaks, leather boots, and long wool tunics. Their features were all similar, with button noses, large, doll-like eyes, and full lips. Freckles were scattered across their lovely faces, and their cheeks were a deep rosy red from the bitter cold. And even though each woman looked nearly identical to the other, the one in the middle appeared to be the youngest out of the three.
Who are you?
The young woman in the middle demanded as she notched another arrow in her bow.
Answer truthfully. I can see that you bear magic, but that doesn't mean you're not an enemy. Now state your purpose and quickly.
We mean you no harm,
Vanessa replied in a voice as stern as steel, and Isabel growled deeply in defense.
We come from Scholomance. Theodora sent us.
Theodora.
The young one repeated as she glanced between the older two.
Did you hear that, sisters? Theodora sent them,
so they say.
Another one interjected with cold, narrowed eyes.
Words are meaningless. Let's bring them back to the village and see just how remarkable their magic truly is. Besides, something doesn't smell right to me. They're traveling with a man. I've never heard of a male witch before, unless he's a warlock.
No, I answered, and I could feel my temper rising. I'm not a fucking warlock.
What do you mean you'll take us back to the village and what? Test our magic or something?
She means we will take you back to our village and you will prove yourselves to us.
The younger one shouted as she pulled her arrow back even further.
If not, I'll shoot you right in between your snake-like eyes.
Easy. We'll go back to your village. Just keep your weapons low and we'll keep our wands down. Deal?
All right.
The blonde beauty responded after a long moment.
Follow us, and be quick about it.
When she lowered her bow, I nodded at the others, and we retracted our wands and broke the shield. Then we quietly complied with the women as they made their way straight toward the gated village. And as we trailed after them and crept closer to their home, I could hear drums, beating, and shrill laughter from within. The smell of smoked meat drifted through the winter air, and it made my stomach growl and my mouth water.
Well, something smells fucking good.
Alexander's voice grunted in my head like he could read my thoughts. When we stood before two great doors with intricate carvings embedded in the wood, the younger women pounded 3 times on the doors before they gently parted open, and we slithered inside. The village itself wasn't too grand in size, and there were only a few barns and sheds scattered about. However, there was a giant longhouse down the lane in front of us, and I knew it was large enough to house all the wild women put together. The rest of the settlement was busy at work, either skinning dead animals or weaving clothes. When I looked at the sheds, I thought I caught movement inside, and I realized these women were also harboring other animals, which I thought was strange, since this land was so dead. Professor, I said as I walked by her side. I thought you said only boar lived on the land.
Looks like they found a way to create farm animals. It's truly remarkable. Not an easy endeavor to master.
Keep walking!
The young woman hissed as she whipped around and glared at us.
We're taking you to our shield maiden. She will decide what task you will complete to prove your magical vert. If she believes you carried the magic of Scholomance, then you will be accepted into our home. Fantastic.
Akira growled under her breath.
What was that?
The mysterious young blonde asked as she studied Akira with fierce, silver-blue eyes.
Nothing.
The black-eyed witch muttered, but she discreetly clenched her fists by her side.
Great.
The blonde woman said before she nodded at the other two women.
Go inside and inform Sigrid we brought a group of magic-wielding lurkers into our home and that we believe they're worthy of proving their paranormal abilities.
And what?
The other woman with green eyes asked.
We just leave you here alone with them?
I can keep an eye on them.
The young one snapped in a defensive tone.
I'm not some useless child. Fine.
The two older women replied in unison.
You try anything with her.
The other woman with violet eyes sneered as she stared at each one of us.
Mark my words. I will skin you alive and turn your hides into a new pair of boots. Then I'll do the same with your animals. Understood?
Perfectly.
Vanessa said in an even voice. The other two women flashed us a cold glare before they swept into the wooden longhouse, and once we were alone with the younger woman, she swung her bow over her shoulders and then pulled out a small but sharp axe. A solemn stillness filled the air as she stared at each of us, and awkward tension weighed down on our group like a heavy blanket. What's your name? I asked when I couldn't stand the silence any longer.
Excuse me?
She growled as her cold gaze fixated on me. Your name. You must have one.
Revna. And you?
I'm Cole, I said before I gestured to each of the women beside me in turn. And this is Morgana, Circe, Penelope, Akira, Beatrix, Marina, Nyx, Faye, and Vesta. Our leader is named Vanessa, and she's also our professor and an exceptionally talented one at that.
It might take me a little while to remember all of your names.
The gorgeous, wild-eyed woman responded, but then she narrowed her eyes.
That is, if you prove your vert. Yes, we got that.
Akira snapped before she folded her arms.
How long do you reckon this will take? It's hard to say.
Revna said, before she eyed the raven-haired Wicca from head to toe.
Could take minutes, or even hours. It all depends on Sigrid's mood and patience. Our leader may be benevolent, but she's also unpredictable.
So you have no idea?
Cersei asked, but not in an impolite way.
Look, you're just lucky we didn't kill you on the spot.
We didn't let you kill us, remember?
Fine.
She grunted as she stared deeply into my eyes.
I must admit, that shield you created was most impressive.
Oh, thank you. I grinned, and a small blush crept across the wild woman's face.
Revna!
The woman with green eyes said as she pushed the door open, but only just a crack.
We've sent birds after her, so she should be returning soon. Werryvale.
Revna nodded as she peered at her sister and then at us.
Come, we can't keep our shield maiden waiting.
Understood, I said before I turned to look at Vanessa.
Yes, understood.
The professor agreed. We stepped inside the village's longhouse, and I took a moment to study the vast and cluttered inside. The walls were made of wood, and there were no windows or fireplaces in sight. Instead, there was a large fire pit in the center of the simple barn-like interior, but there were woven carpets to cover the floors, and thick furs over the many beds and benches along the wall. A tall wooden chair sat at the very back of the room, and there was also a long banquet table placed before it. I reckoned that was where their shield maiden sat, but it was empty. The other two women were standing at either side of the empty throne-like chair, but still, there was no shield maiden in sight, even though they claimed she was ready for us.
Wow.
Akira whistled as she looked around the inside.
Does everyone in your village live here together? It's our tradition?
Revna responded.
Besides, it's safer to sleep together in case of an attack. And smart?
Penelope added. Where is your shield maiden? I questioned as I looked around. No one answered, and I was beginning to worry, but suddenly, a beautiful, massive eagle soared in from outside and flew toward the chair. Then a bright light spurted from its chest and nearly blinded us all. When I adjusted my sight, the bird was gone, and there, standing before us, was a beautiful brunette with eyes as cold and bright as ice. The woman appeared to be about Theodora's age, and she was garbed in heavy furs and leather skins. Her waist-long hair was embellished with feathers and small braids, and she wore a woven band around her head.
Well, what do we have here?
The woman asked in a voice as smooth as silk.
My name is Sigrid. I am the mother and shield maiden who guards these wild Wicca women. As I'm sure my warriors have already explained to you, we have brought you here to prove your vert. Yes, we understand that.
Vanessa replied, and I knew she was doing her best not to let her temper get the better of her.
With all due respect, may we please know what you have in store for us? I'd rather we get this over with since we have a long journey ahead of us. Ayurni.
Sigrid repeated with wide, curious eyes.
Well, if you survived the test, I'd love to hear more about it. But you're right. Let's not waste any more time. Shall we?
Before anyone could say another word, the shield maiden snapped her fingers and we were wrapped up in a thick cloud of purple smoke. Then I could feel my body violently tumbling and twisting as we shadow-ported to Satan knows where. The travel didn't last long, though, and when everything came to a standstill, we found ourselves in the middle of a frozen forest without our familiars. The air was so cold, and my skin prickled like a thousand needles were stabbing my skin.
Where are we? It's even colder here. This is where we keep our most loyal creatures,
Sigrid said, with her chin raised, and when she whistled, the sharp sound echoed through the cruel winter air. Suddenly, the ground began to tremble, and even the tree's branches started to rattle as a stampede of mysterious creatures came rushing through the forest. I held my breath as a group of various-colored bears came to a sudden halt and glared at each of us. And although their furs were differently colored, their eyes were the same. Red as blood, and vicious as murder.
Now,
Sigrid purred before she studied each one of us.
It's time for you to prove yourselves. Tame the creature before you and ride it using your abilities. If you fail, there will be no need for me to kill you. The bears will do that all on their own. If you prove successful, it will show you have fully welcomed Satan into your hearts, and that you also possess power only a true vicar could behold. For these bears can only be tamed by powerful and dark magic.
As I stood before a giant bear with blazing red eyes, protruding yellow fangs, and long black claws, I closed my eyes and took a sharp breath of air. We'd tamed animals before, but with the brutal cold, combined with our exhaustion from the last battle, I knew this was not going to be an easy task to accomplish. But then again, what other choice did we have?